You are listening to The Breakfast Show with Jerry D, a Cool FM and Panama Broadcasting Corporation production. The Breakfast Show, better than coffee.
And yes, indeed, a very good morning, boys and girls. I'm up and running. I've had my shot of espresso for this morning. So we're all gasolined up, I guess, is one of the words we can use, going right through till 10 this morning. Great to be with you. It is The Breakfast Show. I'm Jerry D, and we're on 89.3 Cool FM. Keeping an eye on the date, it is the last day of January. Yes, tomorrow we move into a brand new month. But as of today, what do we say? WTW. Welcome to Wednesday. Now, let's start off with a birthday. Now, here's a name which I've never come across before. Gouverneur. Now, it looks as if it's, it sounds like it's French. I guess it means governor. But Gouverneur Morris was born on this day. The year was 1752. One of he was an American statesman and one of the founding fathers of the United States, who was also an author of large sections of the Constitution of the United States and one of its signers, being widely credited as the author of the document's preamble. We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, and has been called the penman of the Constitution.
Good morning, world.
Here comes the sun.
Morning in the morning.
Morning.
Buenos días en la mañana.
Transmission will start in 5 seconds from now. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1,
The best place to be in the mornings.
The Breakfast Show with Jerry D.
Thank you.
There we go. I tell you what, a great way to start a Wednesday. Great way to start any day, really, isn't it? With Michael Jackson. You make The Way You Make Me Feel, and that was released on Epic Records, of course, November the 9th, back in 1987. Third single from his seventh studio album, The Bad Album. And not meaning it was bad, it was called Bad. It was written and composed by Jackson and produced, of course, by Quincy Jones as well. Rescue Me, a sort of rhythm and bluesy song, first recorded and released as a single by that lady, Fontella Bass, in 1965. The original versions of the record and BMI give the songwriting credits to Reynard Miner and Carl William Smith, although many other sources also credit Fontella Bass herself as a co-writer. It proved to be her biggest hit as well, biggest hit of her career, reaching number one on the R&B charts for 4 weeks and placing at number four on the Billboard Hot 100. Here's Amy Grant, getting you ready for your shower. Come on, come on. After this one, I think. This is good for me. And I hope it's good for you as well. High on the time, 11 minutes right now after the hour of 7 o'clock on this morning's breakfast show. You like to dance and listen to the music. I like to sing with the band. You like your hands flashing in the ocean. But I like my feet on the sand. Anybody have it any better? Is that an easy thing? Just the way we fit together. Amy Grant and Good For Me. And tell you what, busy little morning this morning. Let me just check. Yes, have we got Andreas coming in this morning? Yes, Andreas coming in this morning. Oh, so good. Obviously, Yasmin's here, otherwise I'd be talking to myself. Good morning to Yas. And, yes, Andreas is going to be coming in, reviewing a movie for us this morning, and also in the last hour today. We're not far away from the Beaches Blues and Jazz Festival coming up. And we've got John Wolfe coming in to chat with us this morning. How great is that? There's no end to the excitement, is there? And great music, of course, going right through until 10 o'clock this morning. Exactly, by the way, 15 minutes, and that's after the hour of 7 o'clock. So it is time to get you in the shower on your way to wherever it is you're going on this Wednesday morning. Okay, got the water. Oh, that's it. Just right. And that's what it's called, Blow the House Down from Living in a Box. Right, out. Come on. You end up like a prune if you stay in for too long. There we go. Time on the Breakfast Show, 20 minutes, just a couple of seconds away from 20 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock. And I tell you what, let's say a very good morning. A couple of good mornings again this morning. Bright and early was Mary Lou. Good morning to you, Mary Lou. Have a wonderful day. Getting us a couple of days in a row, you got up early. You got a new job. You're going back to work. Anyway, lovely to hear from you, as always, Mary Lou. Also, bienvenidos. Good morning to you, bienvenido. And this is good morning, amigos. It's a sunny Wednesday, and wishing you to have a great day. And, hey, nice music, as always. And you requested a song from UB40.
You gotta smile so bright. You know you're cooler than a candle. I'm holding you so tight. Some perfume.
The way you do the things you do, UB40 for Bienvenido this morning. Don't forget, if you want a piece of music, if you want me to try and rummage around and find a piece of music for you, or just want to say hi, or you just want to wish somebody a happy birthday or whatever, or just say hi to somebody, why not? You can do it by WhatsApping us, like all our other friends do, here on the WhatsApp. Pops up right in front of us on the screen here. The number, make a note of it. If you're driving, don't. Let somebody else, your passenger, make a note of it. It's 6771 8822. Yes, 677 1 8 2. It's as easy as that. Love to hear from you.
You're holding Cause I can feel it in every single thing that you're not seeing.
And Tell It To My Heart, featuring Hosier on there doing the voice bits. Unmistakable voice, isn't he? Take us down to the bottom of the hour. We'll take a look at some of the international news for this morning. This is Stephen Sanchez, and Until I Found You.
Georgia, right.
FM 89.3 con la música más refrescante en tu radio.
Join us February 16th, 17th, and 18th at the Panama Beaches Jazz and Blues Festival in Buenaventura, where for 4 days we're bringing you 9 incredible events with 20 performances that'll have you grooving all weekend long. We're bringing you a lineup of award-winning talent that will have you dancing the weekend away. So come and bask in the cool summer breeze under the shade of the Kurutu tree and enjoy the sensational music at the Panama Beaches Jazz and Blues Festival. It's an experience you won't want to miss. For tickets, go to www.meeventos.com and search for Beaches.
The first wave to Padrinos have already joined. What about yourself? Now, you can make a big difference by sponsoring one or more students for an entire school year. WAVE Foundation supports students in rural areas with limited access to education. With WAVE's own school operating as of this month, 70 public school students from Pedasí, Guanico and Isla Cañas will benefit from an additional 90 days of English, comprehensive reading and surfing. You can get in touch with them at 64982703. And if you'd like to make a donation, you can do that through Yappy's directory at Asociación Waved. That's WAVED.
Paso a paso se construyen los cimientos de la Línea 3, una obra que cambiará la manera de transportarse de más de 500.000 residentes de Panamá Oeste. Metro de Panamá, elevando tu tren de vida.
Saturday morning, jumped out of bed, put on my best suit, got in my car, raced like a jet, all the way to you. Knocked on your door with heart in my head, to ask you a question, 'cause I know that you're an old-fashioned man. Can I have your daughter for the rest of my life? I need to know. You say I'll never get your blessing till the day I die. Tough love, my friend, but the answer is no. Why you gotta be so rude? Don't you know I'm human too? Why you gotta be so rude? I'm gonna marry you anyway. Marry that girl. Marry you anyway.
Jerry D.
Chicas there and chicas all around. and chicas, there and chicas all around. Dancing here and dancing there to the crazy sound. All the chicas loving me, that's the fun just for me. Oh, I'm telling you what you have to do.
Two in a row, started off with Magic and Rude. Following on there, that's Hasmarashi and, well, what do you call somebody who's very rude? Well, you call them Rudy Rudy. Well, you got a chuckle, haven't you? There you are, Rudy Rudy from Hasmarashi. And this one, Mr. Pete Townsend. Let my love open the door.
Tracks you remember. It's Jerry D and The Breakfast Show.
Saying
there we go. I said the first one of those two, Mr. Pete Townsend. How about that? And Let My Love Open the Door. And following on there, that was Hi Ho Silver Lining. It was a song that was written by American songwriters Scott English and Larry Weiss. And it was first recorded as a single in March of 1967 by the English band The Attack. And then just a few days later by Jeff Beck. Well, The Attack's version failed to chart while Beck's recording had reached the top 20 of the singles charts in his native Britain in both 1967 and in 1972 as well, becoming his biggest solo hit. Beck's single failed to crack the Billboard Hot 100 though in the United States, however. Oh, shame on them. We're 7.5 minutes before 8. This is S Club 7. That's what it's called.
Hold on to what you try to be. Your individuality. When the world is on your shoulders, just smile and let it go. If people try to put you down, just walk on by.
Bring it all back to you. yours to me, and I give mine to you. I need someone beside me in everything I do.
There we go. Here in the studio, Love Is All Around by Wet, Wet, Wet. And looking out the studio window, I think I can safely say that today is going to be dry, dry, dry.
Escucha Cool FM 89.3 con la música más refrescante en tu radio.
Cool FM.
Breakfast Show with Jerry D on 89.3. Cool FM, the best place to be in the mornings.
The first wave to Padrinos have already joined. What about yourself? Now, you can make a big difference by sponsoring one or more students for an entire school year. Wave Foundation supports students in rural areas with limited access to education. With Wave's own school operating as of this month, 70 public school students from Pedasí, Guanico and Isla Cañas will benefit from an additional 90 days of English, comprehensive reading and surfing. You can get in touch with them at 64982703. And if you'd like to make a donation, you can do that through Yaffe's directory at Asociación Waved. That's WAVED.
Join us February 16th, 17th, and 18th at the Panama Beaches Jazz and Blues Festival in Buenaventura, where for 4 days, we're bringing you 9 incredible events with 20 performances that'll have you grooving all weekend long. We're bringing you a lineup of award-winning talent that will have you dancing the weekend away. So come and bask in the cool summer breeze under the shade of the Corutu tree and enjoy the sensational music at the Panama Beaches Jazz and Blues Festival. It's an experience you won't want to miss. For tickets, go to www.meeventos.com and search for Beaches.
No bajes la guardia. Recuerda llevar tu mascarilla puesta mientras viajas con nosotros. La Metrocultura la hacemos juntos. Metro de Panamá, elevando tu tren de vida.
It's Morning Radio, The Breakfast Show with Jerry D on 89.3 Cool FM from the heart of Panama City in English.
Oh, those lonely faces. Breakfast Show. It's better than coffee.
Go two in a row. This last one, that comes from the Shapeshifters and Lola's theme. Before that, the Style Council basically describing what we can see outside the window. a long, hot summer. Right, time on the Breakfast Show, 23 minutes almost exactly. Yeah, that's after the hour of 8 o'clock. Time for us to check in with Ingrid.
Good morning, Panama. Good morning, Jerry. Hey, Yaz, how you doing? Well, today is humpity hump day, hump, hump, hump day, humpity hump day. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm losing track of time already. I've been here a little bit. This morning, though, I got to tell you, I went out to get the newspaper, which is a real treat because we don't get newspaper delivery in Panama. So I go outside to get Mom and Dad's newspaper, and it's cold. My goodness sakes, it must be all of at least 60 degrees. Imagine that, probably 50s or 60s. I don't know. It was chilly, of course. I'm going out in shorts and flip-flops, so that makes it even worse. So the neighbors must be going, well, she crazy. Yeah, she cray-cray. She's going outside in flip-flops and a shorts and a T-shirt. Well, at last, I wanted to say to him, at least I'm dressed. Yeah, it could be worse. I could streak out, get it, and streak back. But then again, I don't think the neighbors would be peeking through the blinds. Today's going to be a little bit of a busy day. Got to take Mom in for a medical appointment. And then the home health care nurse, she's coming by later today, which we always enjoy. She's a nice gal. Boy, we like her a lot. And we're moving along. Yeah, Mom's doing better. Seems to be exercising more. I'm making her do the loop. She's calling her. She's saying, now you're making me walk like a racehorse. I'm like, yeah, yeah. You got to go down there, circle, and come back, circle, and go down, circle, and back. The more exercise, the more protein, the faster and fatter you're going to get. First time in my life, I'm finally saying to my mom, eat fat, get fat, gain weight. You don't have to be on a diet. Yay! That's a wonderful thing. So, now I'm going to get myself a big old cup of coffee. I got some work to do in my pseudo-electronic office. Lots of things going on, as per usual in this place. Never a dull moment. Went and saw the sunset just peaked last night behind a set of clouds. Didn't really have a whole lot of sunset because the clouds covered it up, but boy, what a beautiful sky. And there's nothing better than being on the water looking at all that stuff. Yep, that's what I'm happy for. Well, it's humpity hump day. It means we only got a few more days left. We're looking forward to it. Tomorrow is Thursday. Thursday. I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow. Anyways, until next time, back to you in the studio.
And there we go. Big thanks to Ingrid this morning for checking in with us. I'll tell you what, still to come on The Breakfast Show. He's already here. Well, both of them are already here. We've got John Wolfe. He's coming in a little bit later after the 9 o'clock news. We'll get John up here. But it is that time of the week. Now, normally he can't make it because he's a very busy, busy person. But, well, today... Are you here? Oh, look, now you see...
Wait a second.
No, hang on, we've got somebody else important coming on the show a bit later on, so I need to get you out of the way
quickly. In my defense, it's not 8:30. I thought, okay, I need to be ready at 8:30. It's 8:25. But I'm ready, man. You just... You threw the rock, and I wasn't ready. And you hit me in the face.
Oh. Trying to cheer me up.
Yeah. Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning, Andreas. Andreas Clementi with us. Taking a look at the movies this week.
And Oscar time, man.
Oh, God, here we go again. I was talking to our co-producer, Neil, the other day.
Okay.
And he's sort of always...
Oh, man, I haven't spoken with Neil in so long. How is he?
Yeah, he's fine. He's trying to avoid you.
Oh, that's sad.
He's happy.
That's fair.
Okay. good morning, Neil, if you're listening. But funnily enough, I mean, he's always been a big fan of, you know, watching the Oscars and even nice. He's getting a little bit lackluster, tired of it. It's the same
interesting.
Old, same old, same old.
It is, you know what happened before the big movies used to win something? Hmm. Now, normally, it's movies that really are not seen by people. But this year, though, there's a little bit of a difference because the big favorite is the movie a lot of people saw, which is Oppenheimer.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's pretty cool. People are excited to watch the stars of that movie. Robert Downey Jr., a classic mm-hmm. Hollywood guy, a big favorite to win his category. Like, it's, I'm excited to watch it. I'm excited to watch it. I'm a little bummed out at some of the nominations and some of the snubs, you might say. But I'm excited, man.
Why don't they just scrap this rubbish and let the people vote which one they want to give an Oscar to?
I really hope they don't do that. There's something called the People's Choice Awards. And the movies that win are just ridiculous because normally
well, a little bit like the Oscars. Then
no, I gotta be honest. You, for example, I reviewed that movie last year, last week. Sorry, that I really did not enjoy it. I hated it.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe, I need to check this, but the budget of that film was about the same as the budget of this film I saw today. And the difference in quality is incredible. And that's why there's no People's Choice Awards in the Oscars, because people would vote for this crap movie that I saw last week instead of this quality film.
If people are watching it and they're prepared to vote for it, how have you got the right to say it's crap?
Because I've seen more than the normal people.
Oh, you have.
It's the same. I'm gonna debate you something. In any career, in any sport, anything, practice makes perfect.
Mm-hmm.
How do you start qualifying movies or saying movies good or bad is hours dedicated to watching movies and watching every kind of movie. So, yes, I am probably more qualified to say if it's a good or bad movie than a 10-year-old kid that saw a stupid rom-com. I'm sorry, it just...
Why are you referring to a 10-year-old kid?
Because those are the kind of people that vote at People's Choice Awards, and that's why movies like Transformers are nominated for Best Movie.
Technical Best Movie.
Yeah, I'm being a snob right now. But
no, you do. It's funny you should mention that. Yeah. You know, it's,
I'm a little snobbish, but yeah, I do.
Because I've seen, you know, I remember, Blitz, I think it might have been called. It was a West End theater production many, many years ago now. And the critics went in and they slammed it.
Okay.
And the public went in their droves to go and see it. I mean, who are they to say, you're giving us your opinion?
Correct. Every critic is an opinion. The thing is, what makes somebody...
I have a sign here.
Yeah, everybody's entitled to my opinion. But here's the thing about what makes a critic great. It's not what he says. It's about how many people trust him. So, for example, the people that review at the New York Times, the people that review on the Chicago Sun-Times, Roger Ebert, all these classic critics. I used to read them. I used to watch at the movies with Roger Ebert and Richard Roper. Or Gene Siskel. First it was Gene Siskel, then Richard Roper.
You know the best way of being a critic?
Yeah.
I go and see a movie, and I like it or I don't like it.
100%.
But I see it from a different perspective to you. People in general do not go to the movies to see, it was super technically perfect. The lighting was absolutely wonderful.
Oh my God, I disagree.
Not to mention the fact that the actor was awfully good, although I didn't understand a word he said.
I disagree. Like this movie we're talking today it's beautiful to watch. It's the production design of this movie is fantastic, and to watch these sets and
what can you do that with an English accent? Because I think that's what I just said.
No, okay. But I'm just saying, it's. I do like a great story. I do like it to move. I do like it to be funny. I do like all those things. Like you, like the same thing. But I do pay attention to technical parts of it because they're a big part of the movie, man. I'm telling you, I'm filming a movie right now, and the amount of work that the behind the lines people do is ridiculous.
Hey, psst, everybody, listen to this. He's in a movie, I think, and co-written.
Yes, I'm exactly
co-written and acting.
A little bit,
and he probably gets the tea for everybody as well.
And you know what's funny?
We have the.
I did that literally 2 days ago. I got tea for the director.
What a creep!
Man, it's everybody hands on deck, man. If the director is feeling a little weird, hey man, you want some chamomile tea? Yeah, sure. Hands on deck, man. It's about
so anyway. Helping. We all have the opportunity, or we will have the opportunity if it ever gets to the cinema, to watch this movie, and we can critique it. Which will be great fun. I shall go and see that movie.
I hope so. I obviously cannot review that movie because it would be subjective.
It might be a little bit biased.
A little conflict of interest. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But you know what's funny though? In theater, in movie theaters, in cinema, the movie is not the writer's movie, it's the director's movie. So it's not my movie, per se. It's Arturo Montenegro's movie. He's the director of the movie, and obviously co-writer as well. So I will probably see things there that I don't agree with. Probably, I'm not gonna. It might happen because it's not my vision. It's his vision.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
of your book or of your script.
But he wrote it as well. He's the head writer of that movie. To be honest, I am completely comfortable with saying he's the head writer of that film. I'm the co-writer. He's the main writer of that film.
Especially if it's not very good.
No, I don't. I disagree. It's going to be great. It's going to be amazing. It looks beautiful. I've seen it filmed. In all seriousness,
congratulations on that. And we're very honored to have you here to
thank you
to
finally your, to give I, finally your, I get honored
to give here. Your opinion of the
I agree.
Now this one
let's talk Poor Things.
Poor Things, tell yes. me about that.
Poor Things is a movie directed by Yorgos Lanthimos, I think it's pronounced
Lanthimos.
He yeah, has made yeah. amazing films in the past. He made a movie that I loved and people hated it called The Lobster.
There we go. See, I told you.
People didn't hate it. Let me give you the premise of The Lobster real quick. The Lobster is about
lobster?
A future oh. in where people need to be in couples. You need to be married.
I think that's...
To procreate, correct? And if you don't by a certain age, you got to go to a camp with a bunch of all other single people, and you have 2 weeks to find a mate, or you get turned into an animal of your choosing. So the main character chooses... And when you get there, they ask you what animal you want to be chosen if you don't find somebody to couple with. And the main guy chooses a lobster. So that's the movie. It's a crazy movie, but it's fun. It's really dark comedy.
Well, there's the thing.
There you go.
How long did you have to go to this camp?
No, that's the movie. So he made that. He made The Favorite a couple years ago, which I reviewed here. And I actually gave it like a perfect review. I had no negatives on it. I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
It's with Rachel Weisz and Olivia Colman and Emma Stone. I don't remember that.
Emma Stone's in this one.
Is in this one as well. And now he made this. This is with, Emma Stone.
Any lobsters? Or
No. This is with Emma Stone, Mark Ruffalo,
mm-hmm.
and Willem Dafoe. You're a big Willem Dafoe guy.
I do like Willem Dafoe. Yeah.
Can you give us the plot, Jerry?
It depends, because I only do plots for good movies.
This is a great movie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
The incredible tale about the fantastical evolution of Bea Baxter, a young woman brought back to life by the brilliant and unorthodox scientist Dr. Goodwin Baxter, also known as the Lobster.
It's a little Frankenstein-y kind of tale, okay?
Okay.
It's a little, it's a woman that gets reanimated.
Right.
I'm going to give you it's not a spoiler because it's in the first act of the movie, but what happens is... The movie starts with this woman committing suicide,
mm-hmm.
and Dr. Godwin takes the body. The woman is pregnant, and he takes the brain of the baby and puts it in the woman.
Right.
So the full-grown woman with a baby's brain, so it needs to actually grow up.
My grandmother had a very good expression, idle hands do the devil's work.
Okay, yeah, classic expression.
Which is, you know...
I've heard it.
So this is what he was doing. He obviously had nothing else to do.
Well, he was an Orthodox.
Why would you put a baby's brain in a grown woman? See, the last thing you want to go out with is a grown woman who's...
That's literally how the movie starts.
Well, there we go. There's a surprise.
So anyways.
I could have written the script.
Let's go with positive first. First of all, Emma Stone is amazing in this part. She really is. She's Oscar nominated for this role. She does the evolution, the walking. She really takes a real interest in how a human would evolve if they had to learn from zero. I really enjoyed that.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Ruffalo plays a character I've never seen him do before, and he is fantastic at it. I loved him in this movie. I've never seen Mark Ruffalo do kind of character. He's mean. He plays it very campy, like an Oscar Wilde play. It's very, very... fun and funny as well. He's hilarious in this movie. The costume and makeup is precise, like, and that's the behind the line things I was talking about, like the amount of attention they do to Willem Dafoe's deformed face in this movie, the character, the costumes, Bella's wardrobe, like it's just very, very precise and very well done. I was a fan.
Would I have noticed that? You see, I would have probably only noticed the dressing if there's a label sticking out the back or something.
It's very specific, so you would notice because
what's
it's
the time
very fantastical.
Period for this?
There's no real time period, but you would say it's like in the 1910s-ish.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. The production design is different, unreal, but at the same time tactical. Everything from boats to buildings to cars is not exactly like in real life. They have something fantastical to it. It's like a little bit Dr. Seuss-ish kind of thing.
Okay.
But everything seems so tactical. I love it. Even the sky has a different shade. It's just very well shown. Interesting use of lenses for the cinematography. They used a lot of fisheye lenses as well at certain points in the movie to focus on something. Really interesting stuff. fantastic three-arc structure. We talked about this in when I talked about reviews, like, oh, the first act didn't work, the second act kind of dragged. This movie has a very specific three-arc structure that works for the character. You see the evolution of every character. You see where the movie goes. You see why it finishes where it finishes. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
The special effects are practical. When you see the guy's face deformed, it's real. It's not like a green screen of something. There's literally moments where this crazy scientist like does like joint animals. There's like a chicken, pig, and a duck dog, and you see the face of the dog and the body of the duck, and it seems real. It seems like they did. Obviously they didn't, but it's very well done, the special effects. Rami Yusuf is good as the audience avatar. Rami Yusuf is the doctor that comes in to this house and tries to document Bella's evolution. Mm-hmm. And you can say he is the audience avatar in this world, and he does well with it. I think he is an up-and-coming comedian actor, and he does a great job with the part. I was a fan.
Not many negatives.
Let's go. First of all, Willem Dafoe is fine in the role.
You just said he was pretty good.
But it's something he could play on his sleeve. That's the thing. It's something that we've seen Willem Dafoe do. It's something, the kind of fatherly, weird character he has done in the past. So it's fine. Great Willem Dafoe. Gerard Carmichael is super stiff in his performance.
Don't say Gerard. That's my name. That's Gerard.
No, I didn't say Gerald. I said Gerard.
It's Gerard.
Well, it's pronounced Jared. Anyways, Gerard Carmichael, very funny stand-up comic. He had a sitcom once upon a time. But, I don't know. It seemed he was out of his depth with this performance.
Mm-hmm.
He's acting against Mark Ruffalo, against Emma Stone, and he can't hold up. Like, he seems like, okay, this is your line, say it.
Have you seen him in any before? Or?
Yeah, I've seen him in his stand-up specials, and I've seen his sitcom before. Mm-hmm. And he's fine. The movie may focus too much time in Bella's sexual awakening. There's the whole second act is just her, and obviously as a teenager, hormones going crazy and stuff, the sexual awakening of the character. And I feel it drags on for quite a while. Like, it's a long time when they're doing this, and we get it. She is sexually ferocious, and she does a bunch of sexual stuff, but it goes on for a while. I think that they could
have
that
okay.
You're right. A lot of nudity.
Why isn't that in the plus?
A lot of nudity.
It should be in the plus, shouldn't it?
The nudity?
No, yeah. The movie. Okay.
Oh, too well. Much focus on the sexual awakening.
I'm beginning to like the movie.
There you go. But it's a bunch of nudity. By the way, this movie is completely not for kids. I must say.
But I mean, is it? Would you say that
it's gratuitous?
Yeah.
It's not. It's not gratuitous. It might be on the edge of that. I might say.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, that's the thing. If you put yourself in a person, a woman in a grown woman's body, mm-hmm. but has a 5-year-old brain or a 10-year-old brain or a 15-year-old brain, she would be naked a lot. I might say.
How are your kids? Are they running around naked all the time?
She does. Yeah. Bella's 6 years old, and she still. I have to tell her, you cannot change in the middle of the living room. You got to change in your room. And if this recording goes out,
that's what kids do. Yeah,
you know, she's like, you got to change in your room. But yeah,
okay. All right, we're gonna take a musical break, and then we'll be
one
back.
Last one. One negative. Mark Ruffalo's accent is all over the place. Mark Ruffalo, again, I loved his performance and stuff, but he changes between American and British and from somewhere else. It's just all over the place, but it's fine. It's just a cartoonish character, very campy, so it works.
Well, at least that doesn't happen to me.
There you go.
And the outside temperature rises, and the meaning is all so clear. 1,001 yellow daffodils begin to dance in front of you, oh yes. Are they trying to tell you something? You're missing that one final school. You're simply not in the pink, my dear. Honest, you haven't got a clue. I'm going slightly mad. I'm going slightly mad.
Yes, that is Queen, and I'm going slightly mad. I find it happens this time of the week.
I agree with that. I agree with that.
Well, the movie sort of certainly makes
the movie is a little mad. It mm-hmm. is completely mad. Mm-hmm. Let's go with final comments.
Okay.
Yorgos Lanthimos has reached the point in success that he can make any film he wishes to.
Mm-hmm.
Poor Things. This film is a testament that you don't need a massive budget to make a great movie. Poor Things is original, beautiful to look at, fun plot, terrific acting, it's laugh out loud funny, and has heart. It's a must see.
Okay.
I understand why it's
you say it's a must see, but you just told me I wouldn't enjoy it.
Yes, because you, like, I know how to zero in what you, like, your ideal thing to watch right now, I would say, would be Reacher on Prime.
Probably, yes.
Yes. Yes. Have you seen Reacher?
I've watched the other movies.
Have you seen Reacher?
I've watched Reacher before, yes.
Yeah, the TV show? I know there's movies with Tom Cruise, but they made a TV show on Prime.
Yeah, I've watched some of those. Yeah.
That's your jam.
That's the kind of thing.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
You might enjoy that now. Different kinds of
things. No lobsters.
No lobsters. Different kind of thing. No. Yeah.
Cooking programs have quite a few.
You might enjoy Anatomy of a Fall. You might enjoy that. It's another Oscar-nominated movie that's in the movie theaters right now, which is about a man that falls off a balcony and he dies. And there's a whole investigation of if it's a suicide or his wife killed him, and she goes to trial for it, and the whole thing, and everything that goes around that. And it's it might be a little thriller kind of thing that you might enjoy.
Now I know what happens then. the guy jumps off the balcony, and they have to discover whether it's a murder.
He falls off a balcony.
And the wife goes to court.
Mm. Yeah. Did she kill him or no? That's a question.
Did he?
Did she kill him?
Did she?
We don't know. I haven't seen it. We got to see it. But that I think Oscar-wise, you might enjoy it. By the way, I wrote you on Thursday, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Like Oppenheimer, back in movie theaters, if you...
Oh, that's right.
Did not go.
No, I haven't had a chance to go.
No, it's probably no longer in the movie theater.
No, that's right. I didn't have a chance to go. I can watch it on Netflix. I don't know what you're about.
Oppenheimer?
Yes.
No, you can't.
I beg your pardon.
It's not on Netflix.
Isn't it? Oh.
But I know you believe there are movies made for movie theaters. I know you believe that.
Yes.
Oppenheimer is one of them.
Okay.
Okay. And you had the chance twice to go.
I don't go to the movies. You know I don't.
I know, but you should, to some. Like, I'm not saying you should go to Barbie in the movie theaters, and there's no need. You can watch that at home. It's fine. But Oppenheimer is a spectacle movie. Like, spectacle movies should go out and watch the movie theaters.
I'm trying to see. It may not have been on Netflix. I've seen it available to watch somewhere. I don't know if it might have been.
It's probably for rent in Prime. You probably can rent it in
probably
Prime.
Where you're right. You're probably going to rent it. Yeah. So, you know, I'll be able to watch it.
Well, you should watch it before the Oscars. I know you're not going to watch the Oscars.
Griselda, that's the one I just commented to.
Yeah,
it's based on a true story, apparently. And it's about a woman who becomes, her husband is killed, and she sort of takes over the cartel or something.
Griselda's two-life family is upset. It's not lying. They are upset about this movie or show.
So what's next on your list?
I want to watch Anatomy of a Fall. We have a movie that I have very low hopes for called Madam Web, premiering this Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
It's a kiddie superhero movie. There's a couple movies that I'm interested in watching. There's one like you probably will enjoy as well. You're a Jason Statham fan?
Yes.
Yes. He has a new movie out called Beekeeper.
Oh yeah?
Where he's a beekeeper and he kills a bunch of people. Check it out.
Oh, okay.
I think that's the plot. He's a beekeeper and he killed a bunch of people. That's okay. Simple.
That's right.
He has revenge. Because they killed one of his bees.
I bet his wife's called Honey.
That would be funny. But I don't know. I haven't seen it. I'm going to watch that. There's one I am dying to watch called Next Goal Wins.
Mm-hmm.
It is a true life story of, I think, some place in Polynesia that has a soccer team that has never scored a goal.
Mm-hmm.
And they hired a British coach to try to score a goal. So Next Goal Wins.
That's unusual, because most British teams are coached by foreigners. You look at all the teams.
No, the other way around. Oh, yeah, the other way around.
Yeah, you look at all the teams, and you like Manchester United and all these teams. I mean, they're all sort of got managers that are...
From not England.
From not England. Yeah.
But the English national team has been coached by an Englishman for quite a while now.
Yeah. No, no. That's
and they're
okay,
doing better. They're doing better.
Yeah, no, he's not bad. Yeah. He's not bad. But anyway.
Anyways, I'm interested in watching a lot of. Right now, there's a lot of stuff. I want to catch up on Oscar stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to. I'm staying up late trying to watch.
I'm still watching Blindspot. I just started. I think it's series 4.
Oh, that's.
But it's not so much tough. It just sort of seems to get sillier and sillier. I mean, she'd be dead by now, but of over tattooing.
I don't know, man. I remember I saw the first couple episodes. I was like, this is interesting. And then
with the first series.
Yeah,
first series is good. Second series is good. Then it's sort of starting to drift off.
The thing is, those two shows that are like the case of the week, where every week there's one case and they something happens and it finishes. All those TV shows get old quickly, especially if they have like a single thread tying the whole show. For example, this show had the whole thing like this woman's tattooed and she doesn't remember. So that's the whole thing. So how long can that go on for? It has a limit.
I don't know. She's forgotten.
Correct. So I remember there was a show called The Following, also with Kevin Bacon, which was a fantastic show for a show. It was about a man that was chasing a cult leader that was killing people. Again, it's one simple plot point, and you're trying to expand it into multiple years. It gets old. Same thing happened with Prison Break. The whole plot point of Prison Break is what? Getting out of prison. They got out of prison, and they're like, oh, we got to continue this?
Did you ever watch Breaking Bad?
Breaking Bad, yes.
I have not watched that yet.
I saw it late in, like, when every other people watched it.
Mm-hmm.
And that show, is great because the thread of the show is from beginning to end, like all 6 years or whatever the mini series is. In short series, there's like 8-episode series. But as the show is called, it's called Breaking Bad. It's about a man that is good. He's breaking bad. He's turning into a villain. That's the show. And you see the whole evolution of every character. Like, that's a different kind of thing. That's not... It's not...
No, no. But, I mean, it seems to have been very good.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Yeah. But it is really good. I've got it on my list to watch. They'll probably take it off by the time I want to watch it. By the way, have you sort of heard the news with Meghan Markle? Her name is?
Meghan Markle? The Duchess?
Yes.
What happened with her?
Well, it looks like...
She's going back to Hollywood?
Looks like they're going to be doing, like, a follow-up to Suits. And she's going to be in it. She's going to be the star character.
You're kidding me.
No.
Oh. They ran out of money?
Well, the Sussexes, yes. They are running out of money.
The what, the...
The Duke and Duchess of Sussex or whatever they are.
Of course. They got cut off, no?
Well, but they're spending a lot of money. But the thing is, apparently there was this week, I think... I read it that I'm not sure who did the series, but it was,
Aaron Korsh or something.
No, the TV, the channel.
Oh, NBC or Universal, one of those.
Yeah, I think it might be
in USA. It was USA.
But anyway, apparently it's
it's the most watched show on Netflix in 2023. Well,
Suits. yeah. Why? Because of Meghan Markle.
No, I disagree.
Yeah, no, you read it. That is what they. You read what they say.
I disagree with that 100%.
You're wrong. Because
Meghan Markle left it like in series 3. That show went out for like four more series.
I know, but it's been revamped because of her being in it.
Oh, 100%.
That's what I just said.
No. You said it was the most watched show on Netflix because of Meghan Markle. No.
In 2023, it was.
Not because of Meghan Markle, because of Suits. But they are going to take advantage of the Meghan Markle Sussex stuff to put her center stage. And by the way, I'm gonna look up your sources, because it seems fishy, let's say. I don't know. Suits.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good that was another show. That show was good, but then people started leaving the show, and it just became weird.
Yeah, I watched the first sort of
It's round funny, of it. It's good, it's great, but then... The main guy left the show, Meghan Markle left the show, and you're like, okay, what happens now? Now you're just pulling on story lines that don't really make sense.
Anything coming up that...
Oscars are coming up in March, that's fun.
Yeah, but new movies? Or we won't see anything like that until after the...
No, we got, as I mentioned, Dune is coming up soon. Dune is coming up before the Oscars.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you're a Dune Part 1 fan. So you might want to watch Part 2. That's coming up soon. I think that's the quickest one. And as I mentioned, Madam Web. I don't know if anybody's interested in Madam Web.
What's that?
Madam Web is like a secondary character in the Spider-Man comics.
Mm-hmm.
And Sony's milking that Spider-Man world to pieces. So they made a movie about that little character.
Suits was watched so much in 2023 due to its availability on Netflix.
Yes.
Which led to a remarkable resurgence in its popularity.
Okay.
The show, despite being off the air for 4 years, saw a significant increase in viewership after being added to the streaming platform. The Meghan Markle effect, as one of the show's stars became associated with royalty, also contributed to its popularity.
Also contributed to the popularity.
I didn't say it's
you the said only it was because of it. It's not. This is different.
It is because of the effect of Meghan Markle.
She had something to do with it, but I think...
She did.
Yeah. The availability of the show, and it's a really... You know what it is? It's a breezy show to watch. It's not a complicated show to watch.
Oh, no.
It flows. It's funny. It has great dialogue or witty dialogue. It's easy to watch. It's why it's why The Office is so watched still on Netflix, because it's a show you can have on the background playing you're cooking dinner.
I've never watched the American.
No,
The Office.
It's fun, man. It's
good. You should watch the original.
I did watch it.
That was much better.
How can you say that if you haven't seen the American?
It was in. I've seen a couple.
Ah, okay. Another,
but it's no. Mind you, it's the other way around.
I get a little tired of Ricky Gervais. I got to be honest.
Well, Ricky Gervais to me is a little bit like Carney. Or was it Carrey? Ooh. Jim Carrey.
Okay.
Always sort of that kind of character.
Fair.
No matter what he's in.
Fair.
Although, you know, we said Jim Carrey has done some pretty good serious stuff as well.
Oh, yeah, he moved into another direction later on in life.
Yeah. Right, so we're going to be talking about what do you think next week?
I think we're going to be talking about Madame Web and Anatomy of a Fall. I'm going to try to watch it, too.
Okay, all right.
And try.
Well, are you waiting for your turn? Charge your phone's finished.
I think it's fully charged, man. I think I'm good. Thank you for all the electricity you supplied me.
I've been trying to keep it going.
Get me the bill for this hour of electricity use.
Anyway, look, you take care. Always great to have
you with us.
And we'll see you all being well next week.
Yes, sir. Bye bye.
So we're making our way to the top of the hour, just 2 minutes away from the top. Still to come, we're going to be chatting with John Wolfe. We're going to be talking about his pet. Which is the Beaches Jazz and Blues Festival. That's still to come. We'll have John with us after the news, so in about 20 minutes' time. As of now, we're going to do this.
Escucha Cool FM 89.3 con la música más refrescante en tu radio.
Cool FM.
The Breakfast Show with Jerry D on 89.3. Cool FM, the best place to be in the mornings. It's Morning Radio, The Breakfast Show with Jerry D on 89.3 Cool FM. From the heart of Panama City in English.
Yes, the Beatles, and When I'm 64. Coming up in just a couple of minutes, we've got one more request. We've got a request to do, then we'll be talking with John Wolfe. Yes, it's coming up, Beaches Jazz and Blues Festival. So do hang around, because there's going to be plenty happening. In the meantime, it's good morning to Rowena and Phil there in Mexico. They were saying it's too cold. It says good morning, Jerry, Yasmin, Neil, Ingrid, Andreas, and our fellow Breakfast Show listeners. We're not complaining, but woke up to a temperature of 57 degrees Fahrenheit. That's about 14 Celsius. And at least we didn't need to run the fans yesterday or the AC. And that was overnight. So today's high, well, it will be 75 Fahrenheit, 25 Celsius, which we do appreciate. We love Panama, but the heat, that's why we're in Mexico. We do miss our granddaughter, though, Adeline, and she's 15 months old. How nice is that? Could you please play My Sweet Baby by Paloma Faith for us? And, well, everybody take care. Enjoy your warm weather. We're sort of up in the upper 80s, in the 90s these days, and every day actually it's got a little bit hazy out there. I think what they've done, they start the fires in Cerro Patagon to give us a bit of shade. Time on the Breakfast Show, if you are keeping an eye on the time, 19 minutes right now. That's after the hour of 9 o'clock.
Join us February 16th, 17th, and 18th at the Panama Beaches Jazz and Blues Festival in Buenaventura, where for 4 days, we're bringing you 9 incredible events with 20 performances that'll have you grooving all weekend long. We're bringing you a lineup of award-winning talent that will have you dancing the weekend away. So come and bask in the cool summer breeze under the shade of the Kurutu tree and enjoy the sensational music at the Panama Beaches Jazz and Blues Festival. It's an experience you won't want to miss. For tickets, go to www.meeventos.com and search for Beaches.
There we go. Yes, the Beaches Jazz and Blues Festival. I'm happy to say I got the man here himself. Not just the organizer, but a friend. We've known each other some time. John Wolfe, welcome.
Thank you, Jerry. It's nice to be here. Thank you for having me back.
Always. Always love to have you back. I remember us tropping along to, was it Radio Diaz one day? Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
That's going back a lot, isn't it?
That's right.
Yeah.
Wow. You had the morning show and I had the drive time.
That's it. Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, look, it's great to have you with us. And we were just telling you, how many times have you done this now, this festival? How many years?
Well, I went to the first one in 2012 and started volunteering with a guy by the name of Hans Levausen, who was running it.
Right.
And then little by little, I got more involved until 2015, where Hans and I ran it.
Uh-huh.
And then 2016, I took it over myself. And we've been doing it like that ever since.
You know, this is the problem. We're volunteering, you know.
That's exactly right. Everybody that works for the festival, with the exception of the production people and the musicians and the lawyers and the accountants, They're all volunteers.
All right. Excellent. Excellent. And but this is your last one. This is your farewell.
This is my last one. It's getting harder and harder every year. I'm getting too old to do this.
Yeah.
It's not the last festival. It's my last year
as the director. Overseeing it.
Yep.
Absolutely. Okay. But it's still going to keep going.
Hopefully. I'm negotiating with some people to see if they take it over.
Mm-hmm.
But as of this is my last one. And for that reason, we went out and made sure that we've got an incredible lineup. The people that we've got coming to the festival, this is just absolutely fantastic.
Okay, and just reminder, this is the 14th to the 18th of February. And tell us how you put it all together. And is it easy getting the artists to come down?
When we first started, and particularly in 2013, I went to the Blues Music Awards because I was working with Hans. Not in any official capacity, but I was working with Hans trying to help him with the music. Mm-hmm. And I had a good friend by the name of Jay Seelman, who was the president of the National Blues Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went to the Blues Music Awards, and I couldn't get anybody to come. Nobody ever heard of Boquete. Nobody ever, and the people were concerned about Panama, and they didn't know about this, and they didn't know about the other. And I was sitting with a beautiful young woman telling her about Boquete, because in those days I was just really fired up about it.
Uh-huh.
And she, she's listening to me very politely, and we're drinking, both of us in those days drank tequila, 1800 tequila. And we're drinking shots of tequila, and a girl by the name of Shakira Saida had just won a Blues Music Award.
Uh-huh.
And I'm sitting at the head table with the foundation people, and Shakira comes walking by to thank everybody, and this woman sitting next to me looks at Shakira and says, "Next year you're going to go to Phuket." And Shakira looks at her and says, "Yes, Mom." And that's why we started. That's when we started getting people. We got Shakira. We brought Lance Anderson. We had Deanna Bogart. We ended up with the first group of people. And once everybody went to Phuket and saw what we were doing, then it wasn't a problem. I get solicitations from bands to come down.
Oh, excellent.
So that's where
well
we are
established.
Now.
That's it. That's the beauty of being well established.
Yeah. Once everybody knows about it, and of course we treat the artists well, we have a wonderful time with them. Once the artists find out about it, and then they want to come.
I mean, it's interesting saying, drink normally plays a lot in these kind of things. I mean, I remember that's how we started the breakfast show we started forming the company because myself and, I don't know if you ever knew a guy called Richard Weiser.
Sure.
Richard. And, we were out drinking one night and SCN had left and there was nothing in English. The TV had gone, the radio had gone. And, we were on the rum and cokes and we were talking about this and we said, well, let's do something, let's see what we can do. And, well, firstly, we couldn't find any airtime. But then the other thing is, of course, we formed the Panama Broadcasting Corporation about a week later. And it's, this program now, in April, we start our 17th year.
Richard introduced us.
Oh, that's right. He did, didn't he? Of course he did. Yeah. Yes, that's right. You know, unfortunately, sadly, not with us.
Yeah.
But it means he can't get a cut of nothing. Anyway, John, so... Let's run through. Who have you got this year?
Let me reach over here and pull out my schedule. Excuse me. We've got an incredible lineup. Danielle Nicole, the Blackburn Brothers, Lance Anderson, Tommy Castro, Deanna Bogart, J.P. Soares, Ann Harris. We've just got an incredible, incredible lineup. And Dwayne Dupsey. And these people, if I reach into my cheat sheet here, these people have been awarded Grammy Awards, Blues Music Awards, Maple Leaf Awards. There we go. Yeah, the Blackburn Brothers, which are really impressive. I've seen them before. They've never been to Panama before, but I saw them at the White Mountain Boogie Blues in New Hampshire. And these guys have just recently 9 Maple Leaf Awards.
Wow.
Yeah, they've got. Juno Awards, Best New Band, Best Keyboard Player, Best Drummer. They've got just released a new album. It's called Soul Funk Blues. Received 9 nominations for the Maple Blues Awards. Tommy Castro is another one that's coming with a lot of, he's a, four-time B.B. King Entertainer of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
Three albums, of the year, a band of the year, contemporary blues album, as well as winning, let's see, I said the B.B., I've already mentioned the B.B. King Awards. Deanna Bogart. Deanna's won, I think, five Blues Music Awards.
Uh-huh.
Dwayne Dupsy is two-time a Grammy nominee. Danielle Nicole is just amazing. I mean, I could go on and on, and I'm getting I'm stumbling over the stuff that I'm looking at. But yeah, then what we really have is a really, really good group of musicians. Some of them you may have heard of, and some of them not. But they're, mm-hmm. if you're a blues fan or if you follow that kind of music at all, you're really going to enjoy what we're doing.
And tell me, this is interesting because we were also talking about, because this sort of started up in Bolketti, it's moved right. down to the beaches. And you were saying, you know, one of the main issues you came across with Bolketti, and no doubt because this became more and more popular, is finding accommodation.
That's right.
How does that work out for you at the beaches?
Well, in what they call the Panama Pacific Riviera, which is Buenaventura, the Riu, right. mm-hmm. Playa Blanca, Bijao, the Camera, they're 2,000 hotel rooms. So we're fine. But we sold out the Buenaventura Hotel in 2 weeks.
Wow.
Completely sold it out.
Amazing.
And 80% of the people that are coming to the festival are coming from the United States, Canada, and Europe.
And tell me, because it's actually on the beach.
Well, the main performance is actually off the beach. You don't want to be on the beach in the middle of the day. We're underneath the Kudutu tree on a golf course with a nice breeze. I've been out there just to check it out and make sure.
It is the wife. I'll be out in a minute.
And that's going to be from 2 in the afternoon, so that we've already missed the heat of the day, and it goes until 7. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then in the evenings, we're doing it on the beach.
Okay.
At a place called El Faro, which is a beautiful location.
Right, okay.
Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with the Buenaventura?
Yeah.
It's beautiful. It's got like 5 swimming pools. It's just a beautiful facility. It's not, you're not going to be sitting in the sand unless you want to. but the accommodations in Buenaventura are just beautiful.
Okay. Well, we're talking with John Wolf. We're talking about the Jazz and Blues Festival of the Beaches. We're going to take a piece of music, and we'll be right back.
It's the darkest hour of the darkest night. From the morning light.
Gary Moore and Midnight Blues, and your job was just telling me a few stories about Mr. Moore that I wasn't aware of. Gary Moore.
Well, Gary Moore actually got his guitar that he's been playing from Peter Green. Peter Green was originally with John Mayall and the Bluesmakers, and then left and formed Fleetwood Mac. And Peter Green also wrote Black Magic Woman, which is famous by Santana.
Yeah,
it was written by Peter
Green. Absolutely. What a great track that was. I understand that. And now, you're going to be sort of moving away from the festival this year. And I asked you earlier on, what are you going to do?
I'm going to write a book.
And it's going to be about festivals, right?
Well, yeah, it's going to be about everything that happens behind the scenes at a festival. I mean, you know, and I'm it's a tell-all. You know, I may change a few names to protect the innocent, but there's a lot of stuff that goes on behind the scenes people are just not aware of.
And you know, talking back to this festival, when we were talking about accommodation, and do you find you have any opposition from locals, or
I find people want to take advantage of the festival more than anything else. That's the first opposition. Yeah. I haven't seen anybody actually want to come to stop it. I've seen people come and want to take advantage of it. And that's one of the difficult things about being director, which is very unpleasant, which is one of the reasons I'm leaving, is I'm tired of the fight. You know, I'm tired of constantly having to battle these people that are trying to take advantage of it.
Absolutely. And what is the most unusual experience you've had, if you can think of?
Oh, no, I've had wonderful, unusual experiences. I mean, really, seriously, we've got one of the funniest ones, I think, the 2019 festival. It was the last act, the last song of the last act of the festival. A gecko got into the fuse box and shorted out all the electrical.
No.
But the musicians are such professionals. It was Lance Anderson, Matt Schofield, Christine Templeke. Lance immediately picked up his accordion. Christine moved up there, and everybody came up to the stage, and they finished the show. They finished it like
brilliant. Nothing happened.
And we got it all in film. And we even got the picture of the gecko.
So you now got a new band this year, the Geckos.
No, that you know, there's all kinds of things that are going on. You know, the wonderful with the musicians and most of the musicians. One of the interesting things about this particular genre, the blues and jazz, is the musicians have been around a really long time. There's not a lot of new ones, and as a result of that, they're very professional, very calm, very easy to work with. They know how things go. You don't have a lot of problems with them. You know, you don't have you don't have the drugs, and these guys have already been through that. It's over with. They're all professional. They show up when they're supposed to show up, do their sound check, and know what they're doing.
What are the logistics, John, with regards to sort of like bringing in a band and their equipment as such?
Well, we have a production company called Winchell Phillips Sonido. There's a plug for you, Winchell. And as far as the amplifiers and the microphones and the monitors and the drum kits and those things, Winchell takes care of that. They come with their personal instruments, their guitars, their saxophones. Drummers bring their cymbals. The drum kits are available for them. those logistics aren't bad.
Mm-hmm.
The difficult thing, especially coming into Panama, are the visas and the work permits that you need to get. There's a very strong musicians union in Panama that tries is intent on making sure that Panamanian musicians get first chance at being able to do this. And there's a lot of law to comply with there.
Okay. Well, let's just take a quick sort of run through the dates. I've got, you gave me the Beaches Jazz and Blues Festival schedule of events. Now, this is kicking off on the Thursday.
Right. Thursday night by the pool is a Mardi Gras party.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Dwayne Dupsy. If anybody knows anything about Zydeco, Dwayne Dupsy is his two-time Grammy Award nominee. And he's a very dynamic, very strong performer. We've got a group coming from Germany called Muddy What. Muddy What is going to be the surprise of the festival. Muddy What is this group that nobody's ever heard of in the States. And they're just fantastic. Mm-hmm. And then we've got a Panamanian group called Making Movies.
Okay.
Yeah. And you probably know about them. As a matter of fact, Michael Nacional is going to do a tour with them in the Ramones starting the next weekend. Mm-hmm. So yeah, then that's that night, and you know, we're encouraging everyone to wear beads and feathers and come and have a good time at the Mardi Gras party.
Okay, here by the way is Dwayne Dupsy and the Zydeco Hellraisers. A little bit of that. Good way to get everybody going, isn't it?
Oh, he's Dupsy is amazing.
Hey?
And live is even more dynamic. I mean, just watching him live. And we were talking, the guy is, the accordion is like 60 pounds. So the guy's got these arms on him. The biceps are like the size of my legs.
So, I mean, the thing is, I guess it's a young man's instrument.
And he jumps off the stage with that accordion. He jumps off the stage. That's the great. Stage is like 8 feet up. I don't know how he doesn't break his legs.
To Zydeco as well. I mean, that's a great. I mean, I was first introduced to Zydeco when I went to New Orleans. It's a great style of music.
It's wonderful.
And I'm looking here. There's a guy playing like a
washboard.
Yeah, but it's actually around it. It's a, like, specially made, obviously. You know.
Right.
Oh, my gran would never do it. Well, she might do the washing in it if he was still in it. So you must have a lot of fun doing all this.
Oh, it's wonderful. This is fun. Selecting the bands and talking to them, getting to know them.
And, right, so anyway, that's how it's all going to kick off. That's the Mardi Gras party. And now we've got different, I'm just sort of looking at set length, 60 minutes, so there's those different sets.
Correct.
Goes through. Okay, cool. Now, Friday, move on to the main event. What's going to be happening on there? We've got Muddy What.
Muddy What is this group that's coming from Germany.
And really?
I'm telling you, they're going to steal the show. They are absolutely fabulous. It's really strange to see a German group It's two brothers, a brother and a sister, and a drummer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and they're phenomenal. They're really, really good. I'm predicting that they're going to be the ones that just steal the show.
Mm-hmm. Then we got Matt Dedach.
Oh, okay, that's Matt. Matt, these are 12 people that are coming from Canada. Matt and Dash Parrish.
Really?
They are. Lance Anderson, who's one that organizes this, they're also going to be doing a ultimate jazz performance for the Friday night event.
Mm-hmm.
They, 12 incredibly talented individuals, Matt Whittinger, Keisha Wint, Selena, I'm having a hard time remembering her name. They're incredible. They're mm-hmm. wonderful mm-hmm. musicians. Lance is a classically trained composer, musician,
mm-hmm.
but he's very, very broad scope, and he's also the executive producer of the festival.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So he comes down with these 12 people, and he breaks them up. That day, you have all 12 performing on stage.
Mm-hmm.
That night, he's going to do a jazz thing with Selena, where it's just his jazz quartet.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll break out, and then they'll have Matt Whittinger and people that were in Boquete in March 2003. Mm-hmm. Saw mm-hmm. Matt. Nobody knows who the hell he was. But damn, he's good. And then Keisha Wint, who is another just wonderful musician.
All right. And we have the Blackburn Brothers.
The Blackburn Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing group of people, amazing musicians, who have a style of 60s and 70s soul and blues.
Mm-hmm.
That's them. That's them.
That's it. That's them. Let's have a listen. There we go. That is Blackburn Brothers. Soul and Funk. Well, that's the name. Soul Funking. That's the name of their new album. And that's part of it. I'm going to get it.
No, it's good.
Absolutely.
And there's nine nominations for Maple Leaf Awards, mm-hmm. right?
It's just not bad going, is it?
No.
So anyway, let's move. So we've got that. Then we got the Black and White Party. Tell us about that one.
Well, the Black and White Party is it's just a lot of fun. It's we're encouraging everyone semi-formal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it gives the girls a chance to get dressed up, and you know everybody wears something real funky. You can get off of Amazon $35 a real funky beaded jacket or something, and the boys come over and dress up for the girls, and the gourmet food at the hotel is going to be in the Grand Salon.
Mm-hmm.
And we will have it's more of a more elegant affair because mm-hmm. we're going to have mm-hmm. Lance Anderson is going to do his ultimate jazz review, and it's going to be fun. It's just a nice night.
Well, that's what it's all about, and you're going to have so much fun that the next morning you're going to need a Bloody Mary party.
Bloody Mary.
Yeah, that's the way to do it.
Bloody Marys and Bloody Caesars.
Or in your case, Maria. Bloody Maria with the tequila.
Yeah, and you know, at that event, we're going to have John Carney, who's going to be there with his group, mm-hmm. and Andy Agar,
uh-huh.
who is a Swiss blues man, another one coming from Europe.
Oh, brilliant. And then we move on into the main event for Saturday in the afternoon. Matt Whittinger,
That's Quartet. Him. That's right. You came from that.
Mm-hmm. Muddy Watt again.
Muddy Watt. Cool. I'm telling you. Those guys are good.
J.P. Soares.
Oh, J.P.'s amazing.
Ann Harris.
Ann Harris is amazing. Anybody been to the festival? Ann's been at almost every festival.
Yeah.
And she's just this wonderful violin player she's just a joy to watch her perform.
Mm-hmm. And also Danielle Nicole.
No, Danielle she's a female bass player. It's mm-hmm. a three-piece band. She's mm-hmm. got an amazing voice. I don't know whether you've got it in there somewhere.
I haven't gone to them because I'm just sort of trying to get everything in, make sure we get
everything.
So Danielle Nicole, and then at the night time, this is going to be a good one, the beach party.
It's a beach party actually on the beach.
Great.
And we're going to have the two bands that are going to be performing are mm-hmm. The Annabelle Gart with Tommy Castro and J.P. Soares with Ann.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't, that's just a party.
We've gone from a beach party and instead of a Bloody Mary party, and we've got champagne breakfast.
Well, champagne breakfast.
Yeah,
I think by Sunday morning people are dragging. So we're going to have some champagne breakfast,
and then Sunday's main event, and we've got the Keisha Wint Quartet.
Keisha's an amazing musician as well. Keisha's also part of the McIndash Parish mm-hmm. with mm-hmm. Lance.
And the Blackburn Brothers.
Blackburn Brothers again.
Yeah,
good.
And Deanna Bogart, Deanna with Tommy Castro.
That's right. Deanna is people that are familiar with the festival all know Deanna. Deanna mm-hmm. is an mm-hmm. amazing multi-instrument musician. She plays saxophone, she plays piano, she sings, she does all these wonderful things. She ends. And Deanna is also an executive producer. She's mm-hmm. she's the artist acquisition side of the festival. She's the one that points me in the right directions as to who I should get, who I shouldn't get, and she mm-hmm. negotiates for me. Mm-hmm. She will then take it from her set, which is a 60-minute set, mm-hmm. into a jam.
Yeah, I said you're going to an all-star jam. I guess that's where the other artists up.
Then everybody comes up.
And then closing jam, I guess everybody's involved in that one.
But it's an all-pro jam, and I need to make that clear because a lot of guys show up with their guitars and want to jump up on stage and play, and this is an all-pro.
And that's it then, and then everybody's on their way off.
That's it.
And we got some good news because over the next, as we lead up to the events, John has very kindly given us some tickets to give away. So we'll be playing the ad to remind you as we make our way. And also, we'll be giving some tickets away. All you do is answer simple questions. And I know some of you get it wrong when I ask you, what's your name? And, we've still got a few more minutes, left. So you're going to take a big deep breath when this is all over and go into the sunset and start writing.
I am. I've got a place up in the mountains. I'll be up there raising bees, taking pictures and writing a book.
Wonderful. And, Bloody Marias in the morning. It helps the flow, trust me. So, look, John, as always, you know, it's been great what you've been doing. You've been doing it for so many years now. You're probably going to be like, you've got a book to write, but if it's anything like me, people say, you know, why don't you retire? You know, my listeners say, why don't you retire? I'm not going to, all right? But it's one of these things. I have to do something, and I'm sure you're pretty much the same.
Yeah.
And it's important. You've done it for so many years. You're going to want to interfere next year.
No, actually.
Are you going to be a consultant?
We're negotiating about it. I'll be happy to help people in artist selection, but that's the extent of my participation. I'm done with it.
No. I mean, it's not easy. And I think I can say on behalf of all of our listeners and those that know you and the festival, you know, big thank you for everything and go out with a bang.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Always a pleasure. And I'm sure we'll still be telling you. You'll be coming to tell us about your book.
I'll come in to have my book.
John Wolfe with us. And as I said, we'll be reminding you as we go through because it's very important that we get this out. You're going to have an absolutely brilliant time. And I tell you what, just a couple of minutes of this to take us out, because I was mentioning to John, because one of my favorites we heard earlier on there was Gary Moore. And one of my favorite, my air guitar of Gary Moore is the opening to Parisian Walkways.
Michelle and old Beaujolais
wine.
I recall that you were mine in those Parisian days.
Guitar again, just love it. But we have to call it a day, I'm afraid. Gary Moore there in Parisian Walkways. 5 minutes before the top of the hour, so it is time for me to make my way off and do something else for the rest of the rest of the day. Let's say a big thank you this morning to Andreas for being with us with the movie review for today, Ingrid for dropping in and keeping us up to date with the happenings up there in Florida, and to, of course, my special guest, John Wolfe, and we'll be keeping to reminding you about what's happening at the Beaches Jazz and Blues Festival. And remember, we've got some tickets to give away as we make our way up to the festival, so do stay tuned. And a big thanks to Yasmin. We didn't have a chance to chat with Yasmin this morning, being so busy, but big thanks to Yasmin for doing all our background work, our social media, etc., etc. To the boys and girls, a group of Grada, keep us up and running in the mornings. Big thank you to them. And, of course, last but not least, our listeners, advertisers, and sponsors. Yes, you lot, thank you so very much for being with us here on The Breakfast Show. Back with you same time tomorrow, 7 o'clock in the morning. Tis Thursday, all being well, we might have Dr. Computer with us. We can chat a little bit about tech. And that's it. Just whatever it is you're going to be doing between now and then, you know what we say, do it carefully. Why? Well, because I want to be talking to you, not talking about you. All right, so for me, Jerry D, till then, ta-ta.
You have been listening to The Breakfast Show, a Panama Broadcasting Corporation and Call FM production. Presented by Jerry D, produced by Yasmin Quiroz, co-producer Neil Danby.